Welcome to Econa Day Unplugged. It is Tuesday, September 5th, 2017, the day after Labor Day weekend in the U.S. I am Ann Picker, Econa Day's chief economist, and with me are Mark Pender in the U.S. and Jeremy Hawkins in London. Another busy week with lots of new economic data, but I think everyone is focused on the ECB meeting Thursday and what Mario Draghi will say in his press conference.
That's exactly right, Mario. Perhaps I should change my name first, make things a bit easier. But yes, as you say, very much a case now, market looking to Thursday. And it's got to be said, I think, that kind of sentiment has shifted a little bit over the course of the last week or so. I think, not very long ago, we were pointing out that financial markets were pretty well convinced that we'd see some kind of announcement regarding a shift in the European Central Bank's quantitative easing program. Ostensibly, no one is still looking for any kind of change in interest rates, be it the refi rate or the marginal deposit facility rates. But there's very much the sense that we would see some shift on what's going to happen to the bond purchase program. As it is, though, things have changed a little bit, as I said, over the last couple of weeks now. And I think, as I speak, certainly expectations have been, diminished quite significantly. Why? Well, if we look at the real economy data since the last ECB meeting back in July 20, by and large, it's held up pretty well. Growth appears to be, stabilising round about 0.5, 0.6% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. That's pretty good by Eurozone standards. But the big problem has been still inflation. As people might have seen last week, we had an update on August inflation, the flash reading, although the headline rate actually went up to 1.5 from 1.3%. So hooray for that as far as ECB is concerned. The core rate, which is what the central bank is very much focusing upon at the moment, that held steady at either 1.2 or 1.3, depending upon which particular measure you want to look at. So as a starting point, of course, it's hard to say really that core inflation or underlying inflation is really any more likely now to reach its near 2% target than it was back in June time. And indeed, of course, compounding this has been the performance of the euro, which has very much, I think, upset a number of the ECB members as well. As I speak, the trade weighted index for the euro has gained around about 8% since the start of the year. Now, that in sort of ECB terms is round about the equivalent of a 1 percentage point hike on overall monetary conditions in the eurozone. So 1% hike in interest rates. So ostensibly, we've already seen financial markets, partly via the exchange rate, tightening monetary conditions without the ECB even doing anything. So I think there's certainly a chance that we could see some news about quantitative easing tapering, so reducing the bond buying program on Thursday. But it looks a little bit more likely now that they may well wait until October time. Now, it should be said, I think, from the outset, if we do see anything from the ECB, it's going to be pretty mild. They really don't want to exacerbate the appreciating trend we have in their currency at the moment for fear of undermining what chance they have at the moment of reaching their inflation objectives. So Draghi has got to say whatever he's going to say, really with something, I think, of a dovish note. Even if they do cut the bond buying program, and I would have thought it'd be maybe more than, say, 20 billion a month down to 40 billion a month, he's going to couch that, I think, in the terms that there's still downside risk to inflation. He probably mentioned, I think, the rise in the euro without targeting it clearly, because they don't do that. He's going to drop a few broad hints, I think, that the ECB's not too happy about it. But so plenty to look for when we get into Thursday and the ECB. I should also mention Thursday with regards to the UK. One of the bigger events here, I suppose, is going to be the vote on Thursday on the government's EU withdrawal bill, previously called the Great Repeal Bill. Now, this is a legislation which will try to copy EU legislation, at least existing EU legislation, across into domestic UK law. This is just to ensure a smooth transition as and when we finally get round to Brexit Day. Now, there's been a lot of opposition from the opposition parties and indeed within some of the Tory party ranks themselves about exactly what this is going to entail. And in a nutshell, with a chance we can actually see the government being defeated on it. And if that were to happen, then we've got the potential crisis of confidence again. At this stage, it looks as if Mrs. May will get her way with this bill going through, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on, because given the weakness of the UK numbers at the moment, any more bad news we have on Brexit is certainly going to keep this downward path going as far as the pound's concerned.
Jeremy, I've seen a lot of articles lately focusing on the lack of wage increases in the Eurozone, and I assume the UK, much like what has been happening in the US, namely no cost push on inflation from labor markets. Could you comment on that?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's very much some, I suppose you can look at what's happening in the UK as a starting point. And we've got inflation, well above the 2% target mark, and indeed have had for some considerable time now. And yet, of course, we haven't had the Bank of England hiking interest rates. Why haven't they done that? Well, the bottom line is that it's because exactly what you've just been saying. Wages in the UK, and indeed in continental Europe, continue to grow at what would typically be seen as almost a deflationary rate. We have real wages in the UK now being squeezed, or probably be squeezed further if we see inflation rise up as the pound continues its depreciation trend. So that in itself is, preventing really any kind of inflationary impact going through from the domestic markets. And the Eurozone as well, we haven't seen any significant pickup in wages growth there now for the last several years. Now, unemployment in the Eurozone by all means is still above 9%, so historically still quite high. But there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty amongst policymakers, both in the UK and Eurozone, and indeed I think elsewhere, as what appears to have been this breakdown in the so-called Phillips curve relationship, which suggests that tightening labour markets should push his wages up. At the moment, that simply ain't happening, and there's certainly nothing obvious on the horizon suggests that it's about to.
Thank you. Mark? The FOMC is looming in 2 weeks with the beige book coming out tomorrow. Plus, we already have the employment report for September. And now the impact of Harvey on the economy and potentially Irma. What say you?
Let's extend the inflation discussion, because we had important readings last week. We had the final readings for July, which showed only the most marginal gains for the personal consumption expenditures indicators, which are what the Fed uses, 0.1% on the month. And then we opened up August inflation data, with only a 0.1% gain on the average hourly earnings side. And this was below expectations again. So even though the labor market is very tight, even though we have only had a 156,000 rise in non-farm payrolls for August, this is still a very good number. And it follows even better numbers before. So the Phillips curve isn't working, and these are below what full employment or over full employment reading. So what does this mean for the Fed? Of course, the Fed would like to begin unwinding its balance sheet in September. That seems to be what their intent has been all along, even though there's debate within the Fed, and it's based on inflation, that we're not seeing it, and that there's no hurry then to begin withdrawing stimulus. And then we have the shocks to the economy of Harvey, which hit Houston. This is probably just going to have a temporary effect on effect on inflation, overall inflation, that will probably be reversed quickly. And then Irma is still unknown what its effect, where it's going to hit, if it's going to hit anybody. But I think what is going to hit is the debt ceiling at the end of this month. And that could raise the risk of not only a government shutdown, but talks of rating cuts or those kinds of issues. So there's a lot to do. And does the Fed want to begin withdrawing stimulus at such an eventful time? I think it's going to be open. I'm not sure the beige book is going to tell us too much, because it has just very, very consistently been registering moderate to modest readings across categories. In fact, increasingly so. So, in more to the modest end as the year goes by, and it hasn't really justified any urgent need to for the Fed to act. But it'll still make for good reading. And this morning, Tuesday morning, we had factory orders report, which was actually pretty very strong underneath a weak headline showing another pop higher for business investment, which has been growing this year as part of the optimism in the business sector. I don't know what is going to be in store for the FOMC, but it certainly will be a very lively meeting, and I think really the risk for the markets is risk off, because of things like North Korea also show this, that there's money continues to move deeply into U.S. Treasuries. Also, gold too is having a very good year, so I think more defensive. I think defensiveness, even though the stock market's going up at the same time, it's a very peculiar time, I think, for the markets.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jeremy. And until next week. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, just Jeremy? Before you disappear, if I can just sort of stick with the policy side for yourself, Bank of Canada meeting. We've had some strong numbers out of Canada recently. And I was wondering what you think about the possibility of another interest rate hike.
Well, it's quite possible, but it seems that the odds are for no change this month and possibly one next month because of the good numbers. I think they're waiting to see Friday's employment report for August, which comes out 2 days after they meet. So I think they'll play it on the side of caution, given the tumult in U.S. policies and the like, and the ongoing NAFTA negotiations.
Okie dokie.
Thank you.